You've probably seen the headlines in the last 24 hours. A Bridgeport man now facing murder charges after stabbing a family member to death and injuring two others. It is the latest case of domestic violence in our state and specifically in Bridgeport. So we are connecting now with Bridgeport Police Chief Roderick Porter. Chief Porter, always enjoy talking to you. Unfortunately, not under these circumstances, but I do appreciate you giving us the time. How are you?
My pleasure, Melissa. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. I mean, tell us what, first of all, happened in this case as much as you can share with us.
Yeah, obviously, this is a continuing investigation, but it was a domestic situation between family members, and one family member appears to have had some type of mental health crisis and became violent towards other family members, resulting in several individuals being stabbed. And unfortunately, one of those individuals passed away.
So I was reading maybe somewhere in there, was this a person who was not originally from Bridgeport? Somewhere I read in there, was he originally from South Carolina visiting or something, or had been living here only recently? Not that that's a huge detail, but I thought I read something to that effect.
Yeah, so I don't know all the particulars. Other than I believe that is somewhat accurate that he had returned from living in the South at some point.
Okay. Well, because the reason I bring that up is because I do think that probably will be down the road a factor in this case is, you know, because when we talk about domestic violence, which was really the bigger thing I wanted to talk to you about, Chief Porter, because I know you are an active member of, you know, nonprofits that focus a lot on this and you know, trying to combat domestic violence. But Bridgeport, unfortunately, and again, we see this across the state, but Bridgeport has certainly seen some recent fair share cases of domestic violence that have just been horrific. So when you first learn that this is not random or, you know, that this is targeted, but that it's a family member targeted attack, what was your first, I guess, reaction to that?
Well, you know, first, was there a history? You know, we'll look to see if there's some type of a history. And, you know, was there some way that this could have been intervened with some referrals to some social services agencies or something like that? But oftentimes domestic violence most times it's done indoors. So it's hard to, unless there's a prior call or the individual seek help, it's really, you know, really almost impossible to know what's going on unless they reach out. So it's really hard to intervene and try and to give them the help that they need unless they reach out. So that was first and foremost, just to find out, was there a previous history there, which, you know, and that would have determined how we could have possibly responded in a different way or in a better or more proactive way.
I unfortunately, Chief Porter, I feel like you and I have had this conversation way too many times, which I hate. Not that I don't love talking to you. You know I do. But I immediately, when I saw that there was this case that happened this week, immediately I thought of just some recent cases that have come up in the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. Immediately I thought of Jathan Escobar, the 6-year-old boy in 2024. Uh-huh. I also thought of, wasn't there the case of a mother with her infant in the back seat in a car? Wasn't that in Bridgeport as well? Recently, in the last couple of years?
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
She was young. So. She was, I think, in her 20s. My point of bringing this up is I feel like you and I talk about it certainly a lot because of the jobs that we have, you as police chief, myself as a reporter. But do you think domestic violence has become a bigger issue in Bridgeport or in Connecticut in general? Or do you feel like we are doing a good enough job attacking it at the root and combating it?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think it's specific to Bridgeport. I mean, I think it's a statewide, you know,
I agree.
Domestic violence has no, it's in the suburban, it's the urban areas. And so we work with the Center for Family Justice to really try and promote education to inform people about the size of domestic violence, ways to get help. I know they do a really good job with reaching out to young people to educate them on domestic violence. I think over the last several years, we've done a really good job at educating. And, you know, if you think back, you know, 20, 30 years ago, it was much more prevalent because there wasn't as much information. There wasn't as much resources like places like the Center for Family Justice. So I wouldn't say I've seen more. Obviously, whenever there's one, that's too many. But I would say it's not, and I don't think it's a real uptick from the way it was maybe 10, 20, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think to your point, Chief Porter, I think we're having more open conversations about it than we probably were 20, 30 years ago. No question. I think I think there's a couple of things, and I'd love to get your perspective because you and your team, you know, the department, I should say, the officers at the Bridgeport Police Department. And to your point, I agree. It's happening in, you know, rural towns, in cities. It's all across the country, quite frankly. And I know from the center, just in speaking to them so frequently, we've seen an uptick just since the pandemic because of social isolation, things like that. But, you know, to your point, I feel like there's a couple of things that we can continue to work on as a society. And I'd love to hear from a police standpoint what you think. But from a societal standpoint, I feel like one of the things is obviously addressing the youth, letting them know what a healthy relationship looks like and how you can identify if something is okay or is not appropriate. But I think the other part of it is, you know, adequately figuring out ways to protect people when they're in dangerous situations. You know, so as a police chief, you're seeing, obviously, you know, maybe you are, you know, seeing when people have a restraining order or you're seeing the, you know, a relationship go from concerning to really dangerous and people don't know what to do. I mean, what do you see from a police standpoint with attacking domestic violence more effectively?
So I think what we've tried to do is really educate our police officers. And, you know, some years ago, the lethality report was introduced. So our officers are trained much more in identifying domestic violence, offering services, taking appropriate actions, doing referrals, referring individuals who might be involved in the situation to the proper resources where they can get the help that they need. So I think from that standpoint, we've really come a long way in terms of educating our police officers on how to handle domestic calls. I think that's really gone a long way from our perspective. But again, like you said, from a societal perspective, just educating people more on how to get themselves out of those situations, where they can go to get help, things like that, and educating young people as well.
We are talking to Bridgeport Police Chief Roderick Porter following a pretty devastating case out of the Park City. This just happened yesterday. A Bridgeport man now facing murder charges for stabbing a family member to death and injuring two others. It is the latest case of domestic violence in our state and specifically in Bridgeport. And so we're talking about kind of the bigger picture domestic violence. And by the way, Chief Porter, I looked up the case I was talking about before. I got some of the details wrong. That's probably why I threw you. It was the 24-year-old woman who had a 1-year-old, and remember this was in 2025, October 2025, and she was killed, and the child was left on the front porch of the home in Bridgeport.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that ring more of a bell?
I think it happened
in the fall of 2025. Either way, they were friends. They were not romantic partners, but they were friends, I believe, the victim and the suspect.
Our detectives did a great job in that case.
Yeah. So, and the reason I bring up these cases, and to your point earlier, I agree with you, this is not just something in Bridgeport. But I think this most recent case, you know, led to having a conversation with you, which I'm really glad we can. Because I think one of the number one things that we hear, Chief Porter, is, so what do we do? Right. I mean, so what do we do? And I have this conversation so much with my listeners because some of them have been in violent relationships. Some of them see people who they don't know what to do for them because they could see it's going down this bad path. What do you suggest people to, first of all, look out for to know if your relationship is going in the wrong direction? But then if you're in it, what do you want them to do?
Yeah, that's a great question, Melissa. So I would say, you know, recognize the signs of when someone starts to change, when they become more verbally abusive, when they become more withdrawn. Obviously, if it escalates to any level of violence, you need to, you know, call police or get yourself out of that situation. You know, one time is too many. Like, you know, thinking someone's going to change is not a good idea to stay. Reach out to places like the Center for Family Justice to get help. And there's oftentimes there's triggers, right? So there's incidents or actions that happen that trigger violence to escalate, like the serving of a restraining order, serving of divorce papers, things like that are usually triggers. But anyone in those situations, I would really say call the police, if it's urgent, reach out to organizations to get help and get yourself out of those situations. Or if you know someone, really advise them to call police and get themselves out of that situation as quickly as they can. Even if it's just verbal and it starts to, they feel that it's starting to escalate. Don't wait for it to get to the point where someone becomes physically violent.
Was this person, going back to this case, and I know it's very early on in the investigation, Chief, but just want to ask because I have you here. Was this someone on your radar?
I don't have that information at this time, so I really can't answer that one way or another.
I asked that.
And again, we have to know if there was previous calls for service at this location, and I don't have that information at this time.
Okay. No, and I was asking that because, which would have been a follow-up, so thank you for answering that. Because one of the things that I think is a huge misconception, unfortunately, with domestic violence cases is you hear that I did all the right things. I got the restraining order. But ultimately, and I hate to be so crass in saying this, it's a piece of paper. I mean, and I hate to say that, but it is true. You know, I look at a case from a few years back here in Milford where a mother of three murdered in her home, even though she had a restraining order, even though she had all the proof. She gave everything to police. They knew about this. But there's only so much. I mean, you could speak to that better, but there's only so much police can do other than to give you that piece of paper. It's not like they could stalk the person. It's not like they could follow them around. Right. I mean, I think people should also understand that you could go through all the motions, but if you don't get to maybe a safe place like a safe house or you know, somewhere like a Center for Family Justice and really have somebody intervene, that is simply a piece of paper. And that doesn't necessarily fall on the police because you guys can't stalk the suspect. Right. Even if they're on your radar, there's only so much you can do. I don't know if I'm being accurate in saying that.
No, I mean, you're accurate. You know, it is just a piece of paper, and oftentimes individuals don't respect that. You know, however, if we can establish probable cause to make an arrest, we'll make an arrest, obviously. If they violate the protective order or the restraining order, we'll take the appropriate actions and make an arrest. But ultimately, you know, if it gets to the point where they're just consistently violating or coming around, you got to get yourself out of that situation. You know, go to a family member's house. Or like you mentioned, the Center for Family Justice, they can help individuals with housing and things like that as well.
Yeah, and I think even, you know, I was thinking about this too, though, Chief, if you have it on record and the person has a weapon, would a restraining order at all be able to take away weapons temporarily?
Yes, that's true. That's true. If you get a restraining order against you, we would then be authorized by the courts to remove firearms from that individual.
So that's at least unfortunately, in this most recent case, that firearms were not, you know, involved, but that at least is something. But I think, again, it's really action. And I think it's also on, again, society to, you know, if you're blessed enough to say you are not in a dangerous relationship, to get involved, to have the guts to offer that person, hey, you might be mad at me, but I think you're in a dangerous situation, move into my house or intervening. And again, educating, I think, is a big part of this.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like you said before, you know, getting it on paper, right? So oftentimes individuals in domestic situations are hesitant to call police, but you got to get it on paper. Even if it's just a verbal dispute that you think is getting a little out of control, you need to document that. We need to get that on paper because, you know, oftentimes they don't start out violent right away. It leads and escalates up to the point where it becomes violent. So it's really important to, you know, do something immediately. So it doesn't get that individual help if they need help, who may be the perpetrator. You know, things like that are really important as well.
And I will put a link to the Center for Family Justice website on our website, voiceofct.com. Chief Porter, I thank you for the very latest on this case and certainly talking more broadly about domestic violence and how we can combat it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Melissa. And I get to say our officers did a tremendous job and acted professionally and showed tremendous restraint and responded to this call and apprehending this suspect in this situation. They did a tremendous job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's a whole other aspect as well of this story, Chief Porter, that at some point I'd love to dive into more, which is responding to these calls. It has to be one of the most traumatic things that a police officer or any first responder has to deal with. I can't even fathom, you know, like obviously you have to respond to everything, but a domestic violence call has to be one of the worst. It has to be.
Yeah. Yeah. They can be some of the most dangerous. Also, we do have our own domestic violence unit in the city of Bridgeport Police Department. So that's another resource that you can call our department and speak to individuals in our domestic violence unit.
If you have that number, Chief Porter, send it to me, and I will also include it with your podcast, just so people have that.
I will.
That'd be great, Chief Porter. Appreciate you and the entire Bridgeport Police Department for all you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa. Have a good morning.
Thanks, you too.